Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. In the critically acclaimed novel, The Darkness at Dawn, the year is 1600. The place is a wild new land. At least it is for Pamela Roberts Lee's latest protagonist, a young Puritan convert. He's adapting to the so-called new world. He must understand, though, his new religion. All the while he struggles to overcome his guilt for swearing to hide a thief's crime, thereby allowing him to exist undetected and unpunished in his community. The Darkness at Dawn is a story of how moral character is tested in a turbulent setting. As a former U.S. Air Force colonel and Department of Justice trial attorney, Pamela repeatedly faced the conflict of honor and professionalism. The choice between the two is not always easy, and heroism and faith go hand in hand in the starkest of terms throughout The Darkness at Dawn. It's a pleasure to welcome back to This Week in America, Pamela Roberts Lee, author of the captivating novel, The Darkness at Dawn. Pamela, welcome to the program. It's great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rick. And when I heard that I had the opportunity to do another interview with you, I got very excited because you're very, very accomplished and I feel very comfortable when I'm working with you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And I was excited to see that we were going to be talking again. It was fun talking about, and that's in our archives, by the way, if you want to look up our first conversation, The Darkness at Dawn. Let's talk a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get into the topic matter. This really is a novel that had to be written by you. This is something that you've looked forward to writing for years, isn't it? It's personal.
Very personal. It's a story that's based largely on my ancestors, who my grandfather told me about when I was young, in growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he told me about how they came over to America, how they settled in New England, and so he knew a lot about it, but many people didn't know much about it at all because it was an information that was conveyed in a book that had been written, oh gosh, maybe about 200 years ago. And so the book identified characters from that period, and it basically was like going to internet and looking it up.
Yes.
Because it was all laid out in this book, and it was very easy to understand. So it piqued my interest, and in doing so, it made me feel that I was close to these people, just like people that do their own family trees now. The internet, they get more information. The more information they get, the more interested they are in continuing their exploration. And so, in this case, I learned all of the stuff originally from my grandfather. He handed down to me a lot of paper and stuff that I work with, but we didn't have the internet then. And so whatever he gave me became the source of whatever I was going to write, and that's how that worked. Now, as far as my background, I'm a native of the San Francisco Bay Area and an avid 49ers fan.
Yes.
What's that?
Yes, a 49ers fan. Oh, okay, that's good. They're all over. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So I graduated from Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa in 1970. I always wanted to be a lawyer. I watched a lot of Perry Mason shows, and there was a show in the early 60s called The Defenders, which was excellent.
Yes.
And as a person who wanted to become a trial attorney, it was the best example of what I imagined good trial attorneys were like. And then after my family moved, I went to Drake Law School in 1973. And then I also went to George Washington University Law Center, where I graduated with highest honors in 1979. I served on active duty as judge advocate in the U.S. Air Force from 1973 until 1988, when I entered the Air Force Reserve, where I retired as a full colonel in 1998. During this time, I did trusts, claims, government contracts, and legal assistance. After serving as an Air Force judge advocate, I was a trial attorney with the Department of Justice, where I enforced our nation's environmental laws until I retired in 2010 and moved with my husband, Matt, to Alamogordo, New Mexico, where I served as chair of our town's Planning and Zoning Commission until 2020.
Pamela Roberts Lee is our guest on the program, author of the book, The Darkness at Dawn. Her website is PamelaRobertsLee.net. Book available, Amazon, all of the usual places. If you go to our website, you'll be able to link on directly to Pamela's information, her website, get all the information, order the book there as well. Video version, we're recording her via Skype, and the video version on YouTube, and you'll find it at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I briefly just touched on the novel. Let's talk about this. The book is The Darkness at Dawn. Tell us a little bit about the novel without giving it away. And I will say something here. You're talking about these were family members, very special for you as you were doing the research. You do such a wonderful job in bringing these characters to life. I sort of feel like they're our relatives as well. We feel like we know these people because the way that you portray them in the book, The Darkness at Dawn. Tell us about the novel. What transpires? What are the conflicts?
Well, there were two major conflicts in the book. The first conflict is between Richard Hawks, who is 19 years old at the time. And at first, he was a petty thief and murderer. And John Lee, who was age 13 at the time, and he's the ward of their church's lawyer, William Westwood. No author can write a novel, a considerable piece of fiction, without understanding the conflicts and understanding how these conflicts can be resolved. It starts when John sees Richard steal their church's chalice during a storm in the middle of the Atlantic. The next day, Richard, who knows John saw his theft, confronts John and tells him he will kill Grace Newell, who is also a ward of Westwood's, if he does not swear an oath to God to conceal the theft. John agrees, but only if Richard agrees to return the chalice. With few options, Richard agrees. Over the next 40 years, John and Richard's conflict consumes each of them as they attempt to rise in power and status. Richard lies, steals, and murders his way to fortune and influence. John becomes a soldier, civic leader, and Indian teacher. Meanwhile, John's guilt over his oath grows as he blames himself for unleashing Richard's upon his community. Nishihigan, John's most accomplished Indian student, tells John how he resolved his conflict between loyalty to his tribe and his belief in and loyalty to God. Months later, Richard calls John as a witness at Richard's trial for the murders of Richard's miller, neighbors living in the town of Farmington, and soldiers in battle who he believed would testify against him. Confronted with a question he can't answer without breaking either his oath to God or his oath to the court, John remembers Nishihigan's story and finds a path to answering without breaking either. The second conflict is between John's doubt about the truthfulness of the teachings of his new Puritan church and his father's view of Christ's teachings. Puritan teachings emphasize that God is a God of retribution and arbitrariness, not a God of. In the end, John concludes that all that matters is what he wants to believe in, and he wants to believe in a God of love and forgiveness and not retribution and arbitrariness.
All of this unfolds in Pamela's story, The Darkness at Dawn. Pamela Roberts Lee, our guest on the program. Book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. Information at Pamela's website, which is PamelaRobertsLee.net. We'll have all that information on our website, and you can link into this. I know that this was a labor of love for you, and labor probably is an accurate word at times as you were doing all this meticulous research and putting this together. How long did it take you to write The Darkness at Dawn?
All told, it took me when I say all told, I'm talking about the the part of the research that I had to do, the writing that I had to do, all of these things are encompassed in preparation and research, but it took just short of 9 years to complete the novel. But all that while, remember, I was trying cases with the Department of Justice. I mean, I was certainly occupied with other things, but this was the one thing that I always came back to. In other words, in my library, where I work, there are bookshelves that are just stacked full of the types of books that I needed to read to help me complete the novel. And those things are related to research, research ideas that I got from reading other people's books that I bought. And so, but the first 4 years were consumed with research and outlining the novel story. A lot of outlining. I think you mentioned something about outlining earlier. And that's true. Every novelist has to have an outline or they're not anywhere. I can start over. It took me 5 more years to complete the writing and editing. So all told, 9 years, as I said. The inspiration for the book, I believe I discussed earlier, was tied to my early English ancestors and came to America. Their stories lit a fire in me, and when I was older, I knew had to write the story about this period in history, which so few Americans know about. Most Americans think of history as beginning, the country as beginning with the American Revolution. And of course, the American Revolution did take birth during the period I'm talking about. And a lot of it took place afterwards. And also discovering that John Lee was also an ancestor of both Prince William and Prince Harry of England. That gave me further inspiration and inspired me to do more research. I actually did some more doing research on English family tree so that if there was something that I could discover that would make even more interesting, I could put it in. Much of the texture of this novel, which many have praised, comes from what I learned about the details of shipboard life during the voyages from England to America, early New England farm life, and what Native American life is. So, yeah, I remember going to, I'm trying to remember the name of Sturbridge, Matt. My husband Matt and I traveled to Sturbridge in southern Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
And while we were there, we saw what life was like during, actually not during the later period that's in my book, but during the period Andrew Jackson was president in the United States. So there wasn't much difference in the tools they used and things like that. But these are all the types of things that if you want to have a lot of texture in your book, you need to grasp, understand, and write, because those bring parts of the story, the book, alive.
Well, we feel like, I mentioned, we feel like we know the characters and we feel like we're there because of the job you do in painting the picture of what was going on at that time. And the meticulous research pays off. And you mentioned the book has been praised. It's receiving excellent reviews. It's a story that's so well told. I mentioned available at Amazon. Where all is the book available? It's literally available wherever books are sold.
Yeah, I think I hear that all the time when you're reading a review of a book, and then you hear where all books are sold. But always looking what you're doing when you're writing in a period, you have to understand the overall period. So it's like a top-down approach. You view it from a higher place because you've done all the research for all the different things that they had, the different types of tools, and you know, and that's how you get into the story itself, is by looking at it from above first, and get down to to ground level, you have a lot of things that you've discovered that are interesting to be in the book. And if they fall within the storyline itself, that's even better, because now you've got a story and you've got characters that the readers already know about. They've already been educated about this. What kind of tools did they have? What kind of homes did they live in? These are the types of things that have to be fleshed out before you can get down and take those things and merge them into the story at the time that you want to merge it in. So that's an exciting thing, because you know when you get it done what you contributed to the book and what the research you contributed to the book was. And so that's very it's stimulating, because you know that you did it, and knowing that you did it gives you a certain degree of confidence that you wouldn't have if you didn't know it already, that you did it. So I think we already discussed the fact that the novel was you can get it at Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I've started working on my next novel. It will follow many of the characters which are in The Darkness at Dawn. As I said, it's titled A Light at Midnight. So what I'm doing right now is I'm working on taking these characters ahead. And I actually went there. Matt and I went there.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes left. Talk about the research, because it's so important, so crucial to what you do.
Yes, well, that's true. Being a lawyer, I did a lot of research preparing for cases, and enjoyed that aspect of the position. So yeah, that was always the difficult thing for me, because I had as I was getting towards the end of writing The Darkness at Dawn, I had a lot of characters that I wanted to work into the book, the new book, A Light at Midnight. And the title sort of follows from The Darkness The Darkness at Dawn. And so the characters that were still in the late 1600s and early 1700s, I wanted to work them in more into that part of it. So, part of the story. I think the two go well together, but I couldn't end with either one, because then there wouldn't be developed characters in A Light at Midnight.
Yes. Well, and I'm looking forward to that. Any idea when A Light at Midnight may be available?
I'm going to think about that, Rick.
Okay. No pressure. I wasn't trying to get a definitive date.
That's perfectly fine.
Because people who read the Darkness of Dawn will be looking forward to A Light at Midnight. So you'll have to check that. And there'll be information on Pamela's website. The book we're talking about, The Darkness at Dawn by Pamela Roberts Lee, coming out at some point here soon, will be A Light at Midnight. But right now we're talking about The Darkness at Dawn, book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Outskirts Press, all of the websites there. Wherever quality books are sold, you'll find The Darkness at Dawn. And on Pamela's website, PamelaRobertsLee.net. We'll have all of that up on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Pamela, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for being back with us on the program. Hopefully we will stay in touch and do it and talk about A Light at Midnight. Always a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. As I said earlier, you're terrific, and I really enjoy your interviews. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for the kind words, and I enjoy having the chance to talk with you. And Pamela's book, once again, The Darkness at Dawn, you'll find it on our website, PamelaRobertsLee.net, Amazon, the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.